coming into my room, and it's begging for me just to give it to.
Beautiful noise, Neil Diamond. I mean, what a great way to start off your Rancher Radio. A lot of great things. Reading some really good parts of the book, which I highly recommend that you take a look at. I recently had a wonderful, wonderful time rereading the section, paper one, section one, index number nine on paradise. And if you have an opportunity over the next week or so, you might take a moment to read that. It really was refreshing. And it reminds us of what the big picture is when we talk about goals and where we want to be and how we want to achieve what we want to achieve in our life here and now, and also for the future as we try to look at life through God's eyes, try to do His will. And sometimes, you know, we don't think about the end game and where it's all headed. And that, I think, having the knowledge of that actually does help you get through a lot of the pain and a lot of the suffering. So if you want a moment away and find some real solitude and enjoy a great passage, I invite you to read paper one, section one, and then index or paragraph nine on paradise. On paradise. It is a wonderful, wonderful 20 minutes of your time, and it'll really, the most wonderful line in it, and I'll share it with you, is that it says, paradise is at the geographical center of infinity. Think about that for a moment. Paradise is at the geographical center of infinity. And it's that kind of statement, that kind of profound statement that the Urantia book makes that really illuminates the mind, really uplifts the mind so that it tries to gain some insight into just, you know, what we're doing here and who our Creator is. Our Creator did this so that we could all experience together, He most of all, every level of existence. And it truly is a wonderful read on paradise. I also want to share with you an article that I wrote on yourrancherradio.net. And it wasn't an easy article to write, but it's based on some of the things that I maybe negatively anticipate in the world to come. Because simply really because as I look back and I reflect on my own length of time with the Urantia book, I really thought when I discovered it in 1981 that in my lifetime I would see a spiritual renaissance, because it seemed at the time that people were really looking for spiritual answers. But it hasn't proven to be the case. In fact, it's been worse. I mean, unbeknownst to me, and I think I mentioned this in previous episodes, but the biggest spiritual renaissance was actually in China during the 1990s to 1999. And that's when Falun Gong became very popular. And, you know, from a Urantian, I look at what the Falun Gong is and read about some of the, you know, early roots of Buddhism and Taoism and some of the other great philosophies that have come from China over the eons of time. Many of them which have been documented in the Urantia book to help us gain a better understanding. And Falun Gong was really an adaptation of three great principles that could be applied to any religion. Was it truth, forbearance, and humility? Boy, couldn't we all use a dose of that? And they did some physical exercising, which probably helped regulate the breathing. I mean, there's no end to our spiritual approach. But there were somewhere, I think, 10 million people, maybe even more. I may be under-exaggerating that number, but at least 10 million people converted to this over a very short period of time, and it ended up getting squashed by the government. They saw it as a threat, and they began to demonize and imprison and they continue to this day to imprison people who are Falun Gong members. Anyway, my point is that there hasn't really been a real spiritual renaissance in our world, and I sort of anticipated that there would be, and that certainly by, you know, the 2000s, with all the technology and the ability for people to communicate with one another, that we would see that there would be a spiritual catching up, if you were. Because already, you know, all of our food needs have been met in the Western world, at least. You know, it's our arrogance and our stupidity that doesn't allow us to use our distribution, you know, largesse to feed the starving people of the world. And it becomes more political, no doubt. But, you know, the point is that we're not seemingly learning or wanting to learn anything spiritual. So I wrote this latest article, and I'll read a little bit to you, and I want to just kind of share with you the concerns I have, because I think if what I think is going to happen, then we as your Urantia Book readers need to really hang on to this truth, because it is a wonderful treasure during these very tumultuous times. So I wrote, "There's no question about it, God is almost invisible in the modern world." And this is all predicated, by the way, this article is predicated on a comment that's written in the Urantia Book from paper 195, where it says that society can no longer be held together without God than a universe without gravity, or a solar system without gravity. I think that comes from paper 195. It may be found elsewhere in the Urantia Book. But I see all these great endeavors going on around the world to try to control things, but I don't see God being talked about in any of the political world anywhere. You know, when the UN and the EU and all these various global organizations, the IMF, the WEF, they're all talking about the Great Reset and what they want to do to economically try to control humanity, I don't see God being spoken about. In fact, what I see is more religious persecution, specifically in the Chinese culture and in their government. But in the West, our culture, our media, our everything, religious people of faith are marginalized. And so that's what prompted me to write this article. So I'll share it with you. "There's no question about it. God is almost invisible in the modern world. Where is he spoken of? What great institutions call out his name that are not ridiculed or marginalized by the great social forces of our times? In life, instead of getting on our knees and praying for spiritual guidance and want worshipful insight, we simply ask Alexa to ship us something or to play a song. Instead of contemplating the spiritual world, we are mesmerized and distracted by the physical. Our world is a dark world, one of many that fell into darkness." And I'm referring, of course, to the rebellion from over 200,000 years ago that involves Lucifer and the so-called war in heaven that they speak about in the Bible and also narrated in the Urantia Book. "And so for too long, humanity has been orphaned from revelation, which means that we've been sort of quarantined. We've been mostly isolated from, you know, the true spiritual influences of on high, because of this rebellion, because sin has tainted this world. Christ came as a revelation, and before that, and before he was killed, before he was crucified, he said, 'Someday I will return when all eyes can see.' Has that day come? Surely we've been given a new revelation. Surely man has been given two spectacular gifts. First, we receive confirmation through this latest revelation, the fifth epical revelation of the Urantia Book, that we're not alone. We are surrounded by life, all kinds of life, spiritual life, Urantia life, all kinds of life and influences. Gosh, we've got the spirit of truth impinging on us. We got God in us. We've got the seven adjutants working on our behalf. We have the Most Highs working on our behalf. We have midwayers. We have seraphic guidance. We have a whole just a whole litany of spiritual influence surrounding us, and we're not even aware of any of it, most of us. And also in the Urantia Revelation comes a re-representation, a retelling of the wonderful story of our Master Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, the bestowal Son, his life for all to see, so that we may be better prepared to receive from him and his angels of light in the coming age. And so there can be no doubt that we are in the midst of a dispensational transition between one age and the next. The Urantia book tells us dispensational epochs of the past accompany every new revelation. It's a demarcation from one epoch to the next. They're like chapters in human history. As in all previous revelations, this one is just moving quietly through our works as study groups, attracting a few truth seekers at a time, people from all faiths, people from no faith, taking into the Urantia revelation, and then like spreading seeds planted around the world for a later harvest. These early adapters, you and me, share these profound teachings through study groups, forums, an occasional podcast. And so we're beginning our work sharing this new hope, even in these darkest of times. Christ is more reviled today, more than he was when he walked the earth 2,000 years ago. I've had conversations with people that are offended hearing the word Jesus. Atheistic science is the new religion, humanism, and relative truth, the new philosophy of the world. It's hard to know where these ideologies will lead, but we know they are now, today, the chief sponsors of so much human misery. God and spiritual ideals are gone from the hearts and minds of men and women, and even the great political forces who control billions of lives are themselves spiritually dark, having been corrupted by humanism, secularism. The masses have lost sight of God, the first source and center, the actual spiritual force and creator of our universe, and have reverted to idol worship to satisfy our needs and meaningless virtue. We have a revelation in our hands, but so many people are blind to its truth, a reflection of both our lack of progress as well as our ignorance as a society. Let us pray this new revelation has not come too late to save this civilization. But only God knows, and only the children of the Most High know, if it's too late. All we can do is continue to spread the good news of the arrival of this revelation. And maybe through doing our efforts conducted, we can prepare the generations for that great promise when God may one day fill the hearts and minds of men and women all over the world. And then maybe we'll be prepared for another bestowal son. After all, what is God? He is our loving spiritual father who resides in every human heart, knocking. Those earnestly interested in knowing the new truth, only so recently given to us, are welcomed to it, free to read it and peruse it at their own level. You have found the truth. It is called the Urantia Revelation, the fifth epical revelation given to our world. And then I'll just close with this because I thought it was appropriate to the article. And it comes from paper 196, section 1, paragraph 2. Quote, what a transcendent service if through this revelation, the Urantia book, the Son of Man should be recovered from the tomb of traditional theology and be presented as the living Jesus to the church that bears his name, and to all other religions. Surely the Christian Fellowship of Believers will not hesitate to make such adjustments of faith and practices of living as will enable it to follow after the Master in the demonstration of his real life of religious devotion to the doing of his Father's will and the consecration to the unselfish service of men. Again, coming from the Urantia book. spread the word. I thank you so much for joining me on this episode of Your Rancher Radio. Please join me online. There's so much good news. And check out my book also, which is available online, Exploring a New Revelation. And until next time, God bless, and thank you for joining me on this Your Rancher Radio podcast.